This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Our Monday checkup with what's going on in the Oregon State Legislature, State Senator David Brocksmith. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
So I guess if you were to sort of summarize the past week, what are some of the top highlights and maybe even top lowlights from what's been taking place with the legislature?
Well, last week was a busy week. Of course, we're in week 17. There's only 49 days left in this session. We are getting some bad bills that have come over from the House to the Senate that are going through committees. Hopefully, of course, you know, as everyone knows, we don't have the numbers to stop the bills. The Democrats in Oregon have a supermajority in both chambers. But the bills that are coming through, I mean, we're pushing hard to make sure that they don't make it. We've killed a number of bills without the numbers to do so, just by trying to bring common sense to the legislative process to protect rural communities. And we are getting some good bills through. For an example, had a work session on my Senate Bill 485 this morning in Senate Finance and Revenue. It's a small woodlands bill that when we passed legislation in 23 that raised the inheritance tax to $15 million when it comes to farm and forest land. These are the small, you know, are the family farmers and of course family owned forests. It didn't really work. The language didn't really work for our small woodland owners. And so in working with the Small Woodlands Association, the Douglas County Small Woodlands Association, and others, we were able to get this bill through the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee that would better align the criteria for the $15 million in tax exemption for our small forest owners, because some of that criteria is you have to be working at 75% of the time and so forth. And that, again, doesn't work when you're growing trees. And so I'm happy about that. We had a public hearing this morning on my Senate Bill 347 that I've been working with, of course, Douglas County Commissioners Boyce and Kress and Freeman on, that goes after our illegal cannabis grows on farmland. And essentially what's happening is the cartels are bringing bags of cash to these landowners and having them look the other way. Well, this bill takes away their tax-exempt deferral status if they are found to have illegal grows on their property. And that is a huge impact to these individuals because it's going to take it away for up to 10 years if they're caught. So looking forward to that. We had a public hearing on my Senate Bill 500, the workforce housing bill, and this is a base bill that has a $5 million a year for 5 years tax credit for individuals or businesses if they build workforce housing but sell it for to a qualified buyer, which would be 120% or below area median income. I'm trying to get at our police officers, our teachers, folks that work in our, you know, hospitality industries to be able to purchase their first home. It works by if the sale price is lower in that into the 120% or below area meaning income qualified buyer range, then the company or indoor individual that needs that larger tax credit would get 50% of the land and building of the home back in an Oregon income tax credit. Of course, it's capped at $5 million. At 35% of those properties have to be built, or those tax credit has to go towards populations and counties that have less than 125,000 people, so that they work across the state and also in rural Oregon rather than just in our urban centers. And then it was a little heartfelt today on the Senate floor. As you know, I just come off the Senate floor when I do these. My father, Frank Warren Smith, passed away on in December unexpectedly. And we had Representative Boyce put forward House Concurrent Resolution 19. As legislators, we have the ability for one resolution. It's the highest honor that we can bestow an Oregonian in memorial to them. And so I had my family here on the Senate floor as we honored my father for his work and benefit to Southwest Oregon and the United States, as he did three tours in Vietnam and has the Navy Commendation Medal, the Navy Achievement Medal with two stars, the Battle E Ribbon, a ribbon with two awards, National Defense Service Medal, the Meritorious Unit Command Commendation Medal times two, the Sea Service Deployment Ribbon times two, the Navy Expeditionary Medal, the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, the Good Conduct Medal with three awards, the Expert Pistol Medal, the Vietnam Campaign Medal, and the Vietnam Service Medal times five. He was an aircraft maintenance officer and a retired lieutenant commander of Mustang, which he got a presidential commission to become an officer, but then went to school to get 3 degrees in public administration and business. Later today, Kyle, we have a bill that I've been working on that is to Senate Bill 926. It's made it past the House with a 22-6 vote. And it is to hold the IOUs or investor-owned utilities accountable to the victims of wildfires when they've been found grossly negligent in causing that fire, which has occurred. The bill is pretty strict in what it does. It essentially, if there's a judgment pending, which there is to folks in Douglas County and elsewhere, they cannot, of course, raise their rates to cover the judgments that are against them, and they have to pay. All their ratepayers should not be paying for their negligence. It should be coming out of their corporate shareholder dividends. To the tune of Pacific Core, paid over $3 billion to their parent company, Berkshire Hathaway. And it will not allow them to basically try to divest anything or invest, and they can't pay their shareholders until those judgments are paid. It starts a 9% interest clock from the time of the fire on those judgments until they're paid. And we're trying to, and I appreciate my colleagues and support, trying to force these IOUs in what has been devastating to so many families across the state, especially in the 2020 Labor Day fires that occurred, that are still waiting for their payments nearly 5 years later. Tomorrow, we have a bill that I partner with my colleague in the House, Senator or Representative Gill, House Bill 2425, that would require ethical procurement to ensure that forced or child labor is not being used in electric products, which is important to many of us. And then we have a work session on my and Senator Solman's bill that ends child marriage in this state. So I'll stop there for now.
Wow, a lot to cover. And we're going to cover more when we come back with State Senator David Brock Smith, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240. KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow's program, we're going to be revealing the music on the Half Shell lineup for this summer. They are doing 9 concerts, and the release will come out mid-morning. Kelly Leonard from the Music on the Half Shell Committee will be in studio to talk about one of the highlights of summer music on the Half Shell here in the Umpqua Valley. Live from Salem, State Senator David Brock-Smith is on with us right now. I got to cover a number quicker topics in this segment. I know that people want to keep up on where we are on some of the gun legislation that's been out there. Where does that stand at this point, or is that all getting kind of pushed towards the end?
So, no. House Bill 3075, that I call Measure 14 on steroids, is in Ways and Means. And we're fighting like heck to make sure that it does not come out of Ways and Means. Ways and Means, of course, is the budget committee for the state. I sit on that committee. The majority of Democrats have, of course, the majority of that committee. However, a friend and colleague, Representative Evans, who's a Democrat from the Salem area, has come out in opposition to that bill. And so we're hopeful that it stays there with his no vote. We also have House Bill 3076, which is goes after our FFLs, our gun dealers. We already do this for the federal government. The state does not, nor can it afford, nor can the gun dealers afford to replicate what the federal government does with regards to selling firearms to law-abiding citizens in this state. And then it would also require high-resolution video to be not only taken 24 hours a day, but also stored for 5 years, which is a tremendous expense. Senate Bill 243, which is the bill that came forward by Senator Przanski, that would limit purchasing of firearms to the age until you're 21, would deal with rapid fire devices or bump stocks and make them illegal, would allow for all these special districts in the state to not only ban firearms within their district, but, you know, adjacent property, which then would make this patchwork of firearm bans. Essentially, they're going after law-abiding citizens, the MCHLs in the states. Good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. This is what occurs. The FBI statistics are 17.2% of mass shootings are stopped with a good guy with gun, and less than 1% of individuals are 0.7%. Of 1% of individuals that have concealed handgun license commit felonies. And so it's ridiculous. There is a new amendment that has come forward. I believe it's the -9 for Senate Bill 243A that does deal with the bump stock or rapid fire devices. And it limits the ability for local jurisdictions, so let's say a county or a city can vote by the majority of their governing body to ban firearms from their building that they have public meetings in. But does not allow them for the adjacent property or so forth. That is what has been moved forward as an amendment. And that has a hearing later today at 1 o'clock in Senate Rules Committee. Those are the three bills that are out there on the landscape. And it seems to be that 243 not only has a hearing today at 1 o'clock, but a work session scheduled for Wednesday.
Now, let's talk about the Oregon Department of Transportation. That's been getting a lot of attention with the proposals there. Any updates?
There's no updates on the transportation package as of yet, which is, again, I said 49 days left in session. Of course, you saw Leader Drazen in the House, come out with nearly $700 million, I think, in cuts. That could be a huge saver for that department, and of course, Oregonians across the board. They're still having conversations, but there is no appetite to assist the Democrats in passing at this point a transportation package that will increase the cost for Oregonians across the state when they're still struggling to come out of Bidenflation.
What about other tax proposals for other things that might be out there?
There's no tax proposals that have hit my radar yet. But as my colleagues and I in the Senate Republican Caucus have no appetite for providing any Republican votes for any tax proposals at this time. What's unfortunate about being in the supermajority, however, is having 36 Democrats in the House and only 24 Republicans, having 18 Democrats in the Senate and only 12 Republicans. The Democrats don't need a Republican vote to raise taxes on Oregonians, which is why it's so critically important that we come together as a party and so we can make sure that we gain our numbers back so we can stop any tax proposals that will be coming forward in the future.
I know I've mentioned this a number of times before, but it seems like it may be an increasing issue, especially as you get towards the end of things. Updates on the impact of changes in the federal government spending allocations to states and what that might do to the state allocations?
Well, we're going to get our revenue forecast on Wednesday, and that's really where it's going to set the line for what the budget is going to be for the next 2 years, what we call the biennium budget for the state. The canceling of the BRIC grants, for example, has impacted not only Senate Republican districts, but Senate Democrat districts. Not everything that is happening is as an example, there is a new hospital project in Astoria that Senator Weber has been working on. They lost nearly $25 million in funding to build that hospital. It's a huge cost. I mean, that was just a small fraction of what percentage. I think it was roughly 15% of what the cost of the overall structure and building is going to be because of the BRIC grant canceled. The city of Port Orford was in line for they had passed through the first round for funding for their inadequate water systems and they were canceled in funding. The state can't backfill those type of dollars, of course, but you're in a situation where when it comes to health care, we leverage dollars, as I've said before with you. And so roughly a third of the state's budget is federal dollars. That's what happens when you have a one-party rule over the decades. And so you're in a situation where, what I tell my constituents is I understand what the federal government and the Trump administration is doing. At what point is enough? We're trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. And so, what level do we stop? Do we say, okay, if it's 40 trillion, we got to start curbing. If it's 50. So I completely understand and support the presidential actions that are moving forward to cut the deficit and the spending. And I hope that we will be able to move forward in Oregon in our budget as well. Thanks a lot, Kyle. I appreciate the opportunity always to be able to give these updates
All right, live from Salem, State Senator David Brock-Smith on Inside Douglas County, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.